Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
God gave me a Ferrari because I am a Ferrari. You're a Ferrari too.
When God made you, he had all the options put on. You are fully loaded and totally equipped.
So do this with me.
Where did we ever come up with the style of preaching we have today? There is some entertaining preaching, but not convicting preaching, and the legacy has been tragic.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The difference an article makes. This is Wretched Radio. You've got yourself a definite article like the. You've also got yourself indefinite articles like ah. Christianity has both. The question is, when do we use a definite and when do we use an indefinite article? The difference might mean whether or not you have any Christian friends or not, or whether your church splits or not, or whether you find yourself on an island with maybe one or two other individuals who think exactly the way you do on every single issue. Not very likely. That is why you and I need to know the difference between a and the. Romans 14 appears to be a peculiar chapter in the great theological treatise by Paul, which demonstrates, again, the supernatural nature of the Bible by being so brilliant. Don't know if you've noticed, but if you ever meet somebody, especially in the Middle East, but even in the West, who practices the religion of peace, it appears they're stuck in a century. Specifically, women's clothing. Why? Because the Quran does not contain Romans 14. Romans 14 is the chapter on what we would call adiaphora. These are areas where Christians can have a difference of opinion. And it is God's brilliant way of allowing human beings to work through complex issues without going to war, without judging one another, so that we can have unity. And you might be saying, wait a second, you can't have unity without truth. I totally agree. But what Romans 14 tells us, brace yourself for this, and please don't think suddenly I've become a member of the Democratic Party, I've become a liberal theologian. No, but there are times when certain issues are a truth and not the truth. Did you hear the tires screeching out of the tens and tens of people listening to this year Wretched Radio program? What do you mean? There can be a truth. Is that postmodernism? No, that's Romans 14. And I would like to suggest to you, if we can carefully work our way through this chapter in the Bible, you and I might find ourselves having more joy and more unity with more brothers and sisters, especially in an era where I see increasingly we are becoming divided. There are two subjects in particular that are currently raging in Christendom that are causing a great deal of divides. And let's start with COVID. That's right, the old COVID conundrum. There are Christians with differences of opinion. Some are opening up their churches. Some are adhering to the government mandates, whatever they happen to be, a percentage, the distance between people, wearing the masks. Different churches are reacting differently to the same set of information that we all have access to. And I've noticed we're starting to cop a bit of an attitude toward those churches that don't do it exactly the way that we do. Or some of us are leaving our good churches because we don't agree with what the elders have decided is the right way to approach this situation. Might I suggest to you, COVID, maybe there's an aspect of it where this doesn't apply, but COVID is an truth issue. That different churches are going to see the situation based on their history, their people, maybe even, for all I know, their comorbidities, what their government is mandating, where they're at in the history of the church. And they're making decisions that some perhaps don't agree with. And I would suggest to you that if they are working through the subject, whatever it is that they decide about whether or not they should open up, whether or not they should tell the government, sorry, we have to obey God, wherever your church is at on that spectrum, I would suggest to you that is a truth. But it's not the truth. One small caveat, if your church is obeying government ahead of God, that would be a sin. But if your church is striving through prayer, maybe through fasting, to be wise, to do the best thing that is the most in obedience with God's word in a situation that has a ton of moving parts, then what your church decides is a truth. And my church, if we decide something different, that is a truth too. And I can't judge your church because you are following a truth. Because the Bible gives us permission for these things. Don't we see the world at war over masks and vaccinations? This ought not to be for the Christian community. We ought to recognize there are biblically permissible situations where a truth is valid. And I would suggest to you this is one of those times. Now, here's where it always gets a bit tricky, doesn't it? But you're convinced, you're fully persuaded in your mind, this is the way that it should go. I get that. And nevertheless, I know that we must wrestle with Romans 14. We do not have in any of the great theological statements that I am aware of a line that includes, if your church doesn't react like this to COVID, you're apostate. We don't have that. Why? Because theology applies to this situation, but this is not a theological issue per se. In other words, different Christians are going to have different takes on it. And we need to recognize that is okay and not just perhaps not be snarky towards somebody who masks or doesn't mask, but to actually love them, recognizing it's okay. I don't have to be as agitated as Fox News wants me to be. I do not have to be as mad as most conservative talk radio programs would desire for you to just, how many blogs? We got to do something. That's enough. We can't put up with this anymore. That's not the Christian heart toward our brothers and sisters who have a truth about COVID. Up in Canada, in Edmonton, Grace Life Church has decided they are going to defy the government and continue to worship. Even if in secret, they're going to do it. And there are some Christians that are applauding and others are jeering them for that. That's not the correct response, frankly, from either of us. More so, especially those who would be jeering them. They're doing what they think is best. Do I agree with them? And the answer in one sense is yes. In the other sense, it's I have no idea because I'm not there. I'm not in that context and I wouldn't know what decision I'd make because I'm not a part of their church in their place at this time in that country with their people. But I would say if that's what they've chosen to do, then good on them. Does that mean everybody has to do that? No. And to the church maybe right down the street that says, we're actually going to do exactly what we're told to do. Their motives are right. They're seeking the Lord. They're studying the Bible. They're trying to be stewards of what God has put them in charge of. They are trying to be godly shepherds. And what they decide then is right for them. That's not postmodernism. That's Romans 14. And so do I agree with what Grace Life is, Church is doing? Sure, if your church is doing the opposite, I think what you're doing is right too. Because we let other believers go about the business of making decisions on subjects that are not theologically crystal clear issues and ultimately have a different conclusion. And here's this is the tough part about this. They're both right. They're both right. There are sometimes, in some situations, multiple truths. In other words, multiple Christian responses to the same set of data. And my heart is inclined to determine that anybody who doesn't render the same verdict that I have come up with, well, they're clearly wrong. And I need to back up and, frankly, grow up, read Romans 14, and recognize, no, they've simply come up with a different decision, and I love them. And here's how I know that Romans 14 is correct in this particular situation. Because I am convinced that should you and I ever find ourselves in a jail cell, and my church decided this, your church decided that, my family did this with COVID, your family did that, I don't think it's going to keep us from singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to the Lord as we're shackled together at the ankle. Why? Because of Romans 14. And if you and I want to divide the church further, we're going to stick to our guns on issues that do not require it. But the Bible gives permission for different believers to come with different conclusions, and we can love one another as we go through it and say to them, well done. Hey, not the decision I made, but well done, because that is a Christian truth. This is Wretched Radio.
It's another day, and of course, another Wretched Radio. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. We certainly do appreciate each and every day that you choose to listen to Wretched Radio. And hey, maybe you want to keep up to date with everything that's happening at Wretched. We really want you to keep up to date and know all of the goings on here at Wretched Radio. And you can do that by signing up for the Wretched newsletter. Every month we send out a newsletter, and it covers tough theological issues, and it keeps you up to date on all the things new here at Wretched. And you're not only going to receive those updates about what's going on here at Wretched, but you're also going to get thorough and in-depth messages on a wide range of theological issues that Christians are facing today. It's the Wretched newsletter. It comes out every month directly to your email inbox. All you have to do to sign up is head on over to wretched.org/newsletter. It really is that simple. wretched.org/newsletter. And hey, while you're at our website, make sure you check out our donate page and consider becoming a gospel partner, because without you, there is no Wretched. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE. You say, Friel, usually the phone number goes at the end of a commercial. I'm putting it at the beginning because I would like to strongly encourage you to call 844-34-BIBLE. A very nice person, representative at MediShare, will answer your call and share with you what might be an alternative to your traditional health insurance that's driving you bonkers right now. The average family saves, give or take, $500 per month. Right now, waiving the initiation fee, an additional $170. Within 2 minutes, they will tell you what you will be saving every month by signing up with MediShare, Affordable Biblical Health Sharing. 844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE.
The father of lies has been a murderer from the start. His MO hasn't changed in 6,000 years. He desires to deceive people into doubt, and that can ultimately lead to disjointed desires, affections, behaviors, thinking, and worship. But Jesus is much better at what he does, telling the truth and giving life abundantly. And we want to help remind you of all the promises God has given us and just how much his word is sufficient for all of our struggles. Drive-By Biblical Counseling 3 is here. It's a 63-lecture series that biblically tackles issues like abuse, self-harm, eating disorders, addictions, and suicide. Order your copy right now and start learning how to apply the truth of Scripture to your life and to your struggles. God hasn't left us empty-handed. Drive-By Biblical Counseling 3 is available right now at wretched.org/counseling3. That's wretched.org/counseling3.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called a fragrant offering. In the Old Testament, God required burnt offerings of meat and incense as a pleasing aroma. These sacrifices foreshadowed Jesus, the perfect offering that takes away the sins of the world. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
A truth, the truth, that is the question. This is Wretched Radio. Friel, you didn't even have a verb in there. How could it be a question? There is a difference between a truth and the truth. The Bible has many the truths. The truth is that Jesus Christ is Lord. The truth is that God is three persons, one God. The truth is God created the heavens and the earth, and he reigns sovereignly over all things. Here's the truth. Jesus Christ became flesh, lived a perfect life of righteousness, died a brutal death, rose from the grave, descended into heaven where he sits at the right hand of the Father, welcoming sinners that he regenerates, that come unto him in repentance and faith, and grants them forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. And I know this because the truth is found in the Bible, God's magazine filled with his thoughts distributed to us through the pens of men. And it is infallible, inspired, it is sufficient, it is inerrant, and it is reliable for all of life and godliness. That's the truth. COVID, vaccinations, masks, distancing. I think that there can be a truth for different Christians. And if we don't grasp that, I think we might find ourselves all on individual islands, all of us, because I'm not going to agree with you on everything, and you're not going to agree with me on everything, not everything. And you say, well, actually, you know what? There are some people that I agree with. I listen to fill in the blank preacher on the radio. I've never disagreed with him. Go do church with him for a year. You're going to come up with some differences of opinion on dealing with issues. That couple who's having marital problems, the wayward child situation. You've got somebody who is not behaving correctly and you don't know whether to discipline or not. Believe me, it will be short order. You're going to find yourself disagreeing with different believers, and we have got to find the line between the truth and a truth. Romans 14 lays out this principle. It is not postmodern. It is not liberalism. It's the genius of God in providing for us permission to come up with a different conclusion than another believer on a non-the theological issue and love one another. That's the point. Because if we do not start applying this to the issue of COVID, we're going to get mad at one another. We're going to be separate. What did your church do? Oh, okay, fine. Our church didn't. Bye. We can't do conferences. What are we going to do? We're going to go to conferences. Okay, by show of hands, how many people here with their churches, they decided everybody get the vaccination, you're going to wear a mask until the government says you can leave. How many of you did that? Okay, well then you people have to go because we decided that we're not going to do that. So you're out of here. Now, it won't happen quite like that, but it does happen like that, doesn't it? And maybe, just maybe, there are barriers up between you and other believers, even inside of your own church or even family, that have a different take on it. It's okay. It's okay. Because as hard as this is for conservative Bible-based Christians to state, there are a truths and not necessarily the truth on some of these subjects. Permit me to enter into a different realm than COVID, the social justice issue. This is one that is still roiling about, that is causing all kinds of animosity between brothers and sisters. Are there lines? There's no doubt about it that there are lines. If you start saying that the gospel demands this in addition to faith alone, well, then you've got the issue. But if we're talking about what we think about the history of America or the current systems in America, I got my opinion, and they're really strong. But I simply have to run to Romans 14 and say there are going to be some good brothers and sisters who have a different take on some, not all, some of these issues. And I can actually tongue stuck to the roof of my mouth. Love them. Do I believe that there's systemic racism in America? No, I don't. I believe that everybody is capable of racism, but the systems no longer, in my opinion, are fixed. Did they used to be? Yes, they did. They're not anymore. And when we find them, anything that might cause somebody to treat somebody poorly simply because of the color of their skin, we want it eradicated and dealt with, and anybody who is guilty of it to receive justice for it. No question about it. But do I believe, as currently defined, America is a systemically racist nation? No. Let's say I'm now locked up in prison with a bunch of other Christians because, well, that's just what happens when you have a country that's moving further and further away from the Lord. Am I going to be able to have fellowship with somebody who had a difference of opinion regarding systemic racism? Will I be able to worship with them? Can I love that person? I have to confess to you, quite honestly, and I know this isn't entirely fair, but it's not entirely unfair either. I don't think those issues are going to matter at all in those circumstances. They're just not going to be an issue. When you're scraping for survival, when you're looking for bread, when you don't have any sunlight making its way into your cell, you're not going to sit there with another Christian going, no, after Jim Crow. No, let me tell you about what Lyndon Baines Johnson did. It's just not going to matter. What matters? The truth. And that we have unity in the truth. And there are many. And they are robust. And they are clear. And I'm not suggesting that any of these societal issues don't land squarely in the category, because they do. For instance, voting for somebody who's a pro-abort. I'm sorry. That's a sin. That would be wrong. That's not a truth. That's wrong. Why? Because last time I checked the commandments, thou shalt not murder is still in the Decalogue. And we don't do that, and we don't facilitate that, and we don't encourage that by voting for that. But there are some issues societally, like COVID, what your church is doing, how they're responding, and regarding some, not all, some of the social justice issues, not all, some. There's another consideration in all of this Romans 14 business that needs to be constantly in the forefront of our noggins, and that is one single word, time. That different news, different information, different events, and God working on people differently at different times can change things. It changes how we work through some of these issues. Because it might come down to the point, for instance, let's go to COVID for a moment. Let's just say the government goes, we've been thinking about it. We want the churches shut down for forever. COVID schmovid. We don't want you operating. No. That's not our truth. The truth is you can't do that because we obey God, not man. Acts 2, Acts chapter 4. We cannot forever forsake the assembling of the saints. No. There are those times. We're not there at the moment. What if we get there? Well, then my tune is going to change because the circumstances have changed. And we need to give grace in that, where we don't look at somebody, they used to think this, now they think that. It could be because of information. They learned some stuff. They studied the issue more. God was working on their heart. And that's okay, because God is so patient with us, isn't he? And isn't that the point of this? Romans 14, over and over again, reminds us, who do you think you are to judge your brother? When you're going to stand before the Lord and each one is going to give an account, why would you be judging your brother? Now, do we also suddenly throw out Matthew 18, 1 Corinthians 5, church discipline? No, because those are the issues. Somebody's a heretic. That's a the issue. They're living in an unrepentant lifestyle of sin. That's a the issue. But on the issues, we've got to allow room. there are some good brothers and sisters right now that we used to worship with that believe that there is systemic racism in this country. I'm suddenly supposed to label them heretic because of an issue? I believe they're wrong. I would encourage them to change their tune. And if you think that this is easy for me to say that it's not, why? Because I'm persuaded in my own mind I'm absolutely right. And that's the challenge. When you are dealing with a brother, sister, another church, denomination, conference, movement, whatever it is, and they do something differently than you do, take the time, figure out, is this an issue? Because if it's an issue, we got problems. If it's an issue, we've got fellowship and unity. The difference an article makes. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, Texas lawmakers are back at fighting abortion as they've recently pushed a slew of anti-abortion bills, including one that could totally ban the procedure by 2025. Let's hope for that one. The bills are headed now for the Texas State House for debate, while versions passed by the Senate are currently pending. Both chambers will have to approve the legislation for it to become law in the state of Texas. Well, a church in Maine has officially cut ties with the United Methodist Church over deemed discrimination of the LGBTQ. The reason the church gave is they see the denomination's policies as too rigid in restricting LGBTQ people from participating in Christian rites like weddings and ministry ordination. As the Bible clearly states, they shouldn't. Methodist pastors are forbidden to officiate same-sex weddings, while gay people within the church could not be ordained as ministers. And one group of conservative Methodists who have previously also left the Methodist denomination are looking to form their own denomination, which will seek to adhere to biblical views on the sexes. The new denomination will be called the Global Methodist Church, and it will not recognize same-sex marriage and also will have a stronger ban on the ordination of LGBTQ people into the ministry. The Hong Kong court, controlled by the Chinese government, has sentenced a prominent pro-democracy activist for participating in a protest against Beijing in 2019. One of Hong Kong's most prominent pro-democracy activists has been ordered to serve a 14-month prison sentence by the court after he was found guilty of organizing and participating in anti-communism protests. Jimmy Lai, who is a media tycoon and founder of the Apple Daily Tabloid, is a major critic of the Chinese Communist Party and was detained under Chinese national security law last year. His imprisonment in Hong Kong is yet another demonstration of the communist Chinese takeover of the region that is fighting for its autonomy from the communist state. And singer Demi Lovato recently told actor Drew Barrymore on her talk show that she cut her hair short recently to break free of the gender and sexuality norms of the Christian culture. Lovato says she's the happiest she has ever been, and now she says she is owning herself. In March, Lovato came out as pansexual, which she describes as being attracted to anything, really. She was also previously engaged, which she broke off that engagement in 2020. I'm glad cutting her hair gave her all this freedom. And more Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
The fruit of the Spirit is evidence that God is working in us. Every believer will evidence this fruit. But it is important to remember that bearing fruit is a consequence of salvation, not a requirement for salvation. God is working in us and through us, and He is the source of this fruit, not us. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Do not, I repeat, do not take my word for it. This is Wretched Radio, trying, encouraging, pleading either to remember the Bible gives us permission for a truth and the truth, and it's found in Romans chapter 14. Now, let me share with you what God says about this, because what I say about it means nothing, honey, unless the Word of God supports what is being spoken. There's no reason to listen to it. Romans 14 is worth listening to in our time as I see good Christian brothers and sisters marching as to war against one another. MacArthur opened up his church. He shouldn't have done that. If you don't open up your church like MacArthur, you guys are weak. Heard those conversations? What about the COVID business? The vaccination? Are you kidding me? It's got the RNA business in it, and you're going to grow a third skull. Hey, don't you love people? Don't you want people to live? Why don't you get the vaccination? Heard those conversations happening? And I'm not talking about in the secular world. I'm talking about the Christian world. There are some areas that God gives us permission to have a difference of opinion. And we just got to learn to live with that. And I'm not talking for a second about compromising on the truth. And there are many of them. We spend 99.5% of our time here talking about the truth. But we can't overlook Romans chapter 14. Here's what God says. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to dispute over doubtful things. There's your doubtful, disputable dispensations. Kind of questionable. Kind of tricky. Walking out this Christian thing. Picking what job, what career, what school to go to, who to marry, where you should live, where you should move, what your church should be doing. Paul says there can be different truths. Now, some are the, some are a. For one who believes, he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats dispute him who does not eat. And let him who does not eat judge those who eat. For God has received him. There's the key. You've got a brother in Christ, and you've got a difference of opinion on, pick whatever the issue is today, that isn't the truth. You're going to be spending eternity with that individual. Loving that brother or sister intensely. Why not start now? And we can if we realize that our brothers and sisters who are making different decisions, get ready for this, aren't wrong. They're not wrong. Oh, yes, they are, because I disagree with it. That's what Paul is after. We feel it, don't we? And it's so easy to talk about this subject when it's not your issue, but as soon as it becomes your thing, it's like, music in the church, type of instrumentation. Now, last time I checked, we are not told, as much as I would like it to, that the Bible mandates organ music only. Wish it did. It doesn't. Can I make the case for it? I'd actually give it a pretty good hearty go. But I am not going to divide if you want a guitar. I don't know why you would. But the point of this is, when it's my issue, I... And Paul basically says, don't just calm down, get it. Understand that these things can be seen differently by different believers. He continues, who are you to judge another servant? Because we're all God's servants, aren't we? What are we doing judging another servant? To his own master, he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand alone, for God is able to make him stand. God is working in each one of us, different pace. We've been at it, some of us longer or shorter than others. And we are all servants. And anything I know, it is because the Lord has let me know. And anything I don't know, he hasn't revealed it to me yet. Ditto you. And that means we're all over the board with maturity and wisdom and knowledge and experience. And this passage tells us, stop. Stop getting mad at your brother who disagrees. Don't judge. Don't dispute. You don't have to get into a wrangle. Wouldn't that be nice? It's funny. I remember reading a number of blogs where people were talking about, why don't liberals like good news? Why don't they ever like to go, hey, guess what? Under this president that you hate, it's been really peaceful in that region of the world. That's good news. No, no, can't do that. And so it was. I happened to be watching Rand Paul. Somebody sent me a video. I'm watching Rand Paul. He was interviewing, interrogating, questioning Fauci, Anthony Fauci. And the point that jumped out at me was Rand Paul saying, but sir, This is good news. School children don't get sick and die from COVID. That's good news. Why can't you share the good news? And that struck me because liberals, they don't like that. We should like this section of scripture because you know what this might do for us? I might stop being agitated as much as I currently am. I get annoyed when I see people these days that I know what their worldview is because I know what's behind it. God's word comes along and says, you don't have to be annoyed. Different people are going to have different takes on different issues because there is a truth sometimes, not the truth. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. Okay, so here's what Paul is telling you. Be fully convinced. Okay, then that's your conviction. Live it. And you've got conviction A, stand firm. You've got conviction B, rock solid. Believe it totally. Wait a second, but they're not the same thing. Exactly. And our job is to not become liberals and suddenly start sliding on the issues, which is what people tend to do. They suddenly, whether it's Christian maturity or just old age, or are they just start to get soft or they're tired. They give in on theology, and they shouldn't. And we've seen it a million times, haven't we, in the last century alone. A theologian used to be good, but now that old man is just suddenly so liberal. What happened to the guy? They slip-slided away. Maybe it is because they opened up the door between ah and the, and we can't do that. The trick for us, however, is thinking that all of my decisions are the truths because it's mine. And I need to let the Bible jump in and say, actually, it's not. It's rendering a decision for your church, for your family, at your time, with your maturity rate. That's your decision. And be convinced of it. And live together, because that's what he goes on to say in this section. Even though we are not getting along about eating or what days we celebrate, for none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. So now in verse 7, Paul launches into, hey, you're to live for others. So give in on some of these issues. Just plain give in. You don't like it? Give in. Because we're not doing this for ourselves. And that means, let's use masks. That's pretty easy. If people want you to wear a mask, you wear a mask. People say, don't wear a mask. Don't wear a mask. We can give up. We can give in on some of these things. Now, I get the whole health thing. That's the obvious caveat. Okay, but you get the point. I don't have to insist on my own way. I don't have to, because I'm not here for me. I'm supposed to be here for you, because I'm doing it for the Lord. And he commands me to love you the way that I love myself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die in the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died. As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is God, because everybody's going to stand before the Lord and be judged. And then you and I are going to spend eternity together where we are going to love one another as if we are married. Grasp that. As intimate as a marriage should be on its best days, we'll be loving each other more, all of us. Not in some sort of weird Mormon kind of way. I'm talking about genuine love for one another forever, forever. And that's why Paul goes on to say, so each of us will give an account of himself. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or cause one another, a brother, to stumble. I know. And I'm convinced by the Lord there's nothing unclean. So Paul now shares his conviction about meat. And this is my conviction. But he would still say to the brother who doesn't have that conviction, it's okay. Love you. See you at Bible study. Because we love one another. Let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. Do you have faith? Have it for yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. In other words, if your conscience tells you not to do it, then you can't do it. So he puts some guardrails on the principle of a truth versus the truth. Might I encourage you, if any of this has annoyed you, just think it through. Just think it through. Let it marinate in your noggin. Run to Romans 14 regarding issues of race, all of the complex issues and the issues of COVID, and just see maybe if we could have some unity. This is Wretched Radio. Not that we normally quote Joseph Stalin on Wretched, nevertheless, he rightly said the death of one man is a tragedy. The death of millions is a statistic. We have to be so careful that our Christian hearts don't grow cold when we hear the statistic that 1 million babies die every year from abortions. We need to remember that is one baby at a time. That is one mommy. That is one child. That is even one daddy.
My choice to become a mom and hear those little footsteps running down the hallway every morning is all because I had an ultrasound. It saved my life and hers.
Ultrasounds save lives, one baby at a time. How many ultrasounds could you provide through preborn.org/wretched for just $28 per ultrasound? Please help save one baby at a time. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Did you know Wretched has a new Bible study curriculum? That's right, and it's not the same old boring Bible study curriculum that you may be used to seeing. The Wretched Bible study curriculum is interesting. It's relevant. And of course, if it comes from Wretched, you already know it's biblical. These Bible studies are based on our resources, Drive by Marriage, Drive by Parenting, Drive by Theology, Jesus Unmasked, Stressed Out, Herman Who, and others. They're perfect for any youth group, adult small group, or even your own personal Bible study. You'll find that a Wretched Bible study will help you grow by taking you deeper into the Word than most Sunday school curriculums. And don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself by visiting wretched.org/study and picking up one of our new Wretched Bible studies. wretched.org/study. That's wretched.org/study. Remember, they're interesting, relevant, and of course, always biblical.
Let me take you to a very small, very poor village in Moldova where there is not one tomorrow club. There are actually two.
In one of the clubs, there were 80 kids, and in the other club, there were like 65 kids, and we were amazed when we walked into those buildings just to sit and watch all of these kids who, they were very unruly, but yet they were there with nothing else really to do in that village. They were happily attending the Tomorrow Club and memorizing Bible verses, singing hymns, and praying to the Lord. It was so unbelievably beautiful. We hope and pray that they'll find hope in Jesus Christ.
Amen to that. Would you like to help 30 children find that hope? You can be supporting 30 disciples for $30 a month through the Tomorrow Clubs. Visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. Deuteronomy means second law. As the Israelites prepared to enter the Promised Land after wandering 40 years, God reminds them of how He rescued them from Egypt, what He commands in His law, and the blessings and curses that come with keeping or breaking His law. God is faithful to provide the inheritance He has promised to His children. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Here we go!
The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat.
Spanning the globe. Because we have the internet, we can. And you send stories to idea@wretched.org. And they're really good, but we can't figure out a way to talk about them for 11 minutes. So we slap them together in one pile, play some old music that has spanning the globe in a sentence which has nothing to do with sports, frankly, and call it Christian News. Starting with some good news. There I am Sunday having, could it be any better? Going through a sermon, sitting on the couch in the basement, which means it's nice and cool down there, and there's a golf tournament on. So I'm doing a little bit of final tweaking on a sermon that I plan on delivering in College Station, Bryan, Texas. They're twins. It's sort of like Minneapolis, St. Paul. In Texas A&M. I get to be at Emmanuel Baptist Church Sunday morning, and I was going through my sermon to make sure that it was not longer than 11 pages, because if it is, that means you're not getting to the Cracker Barrel without a long wait in the parking lot, probably not even in one of those plastic rocking chairs. And I was bolding things. That's every preacher has a way, I hope, of organizing their notes that works for them so that they can just see visual cues and go, okay, I know where I am. And I'm a visual learner and or they've got it manuscripted, whatever your style is, that's mine. And I'm going through it while watching a golf tournament. It was a delightful day when Stewart Cink, a golfer who I think burst onto the scenes, was it 2007, 2009, beat Tom Watson. Everybody was probably annoyed at Stewart because he was the sentimental. Tom Watson was the fave because he was 59 years old. And anybody over 30 is like, come on, do it, old man. Win. Give me some hope. And he lost. And Stewart Cink won. And he's had a very nice professional golf career. I think he's won 8 tournaments now. That's good. But I didn't know much about him. When I saw his ball roll toward the hole and stop just short of the pin, it was just dead center, but it stopped short. But there was a blue cross, and I'm not talking about the insurance company, an actual blue cross. Looks like it was drawn onto the golf ball with a Sharpie, because golfers do that. They like to so that they can mark the ball to line up their putts. It was an actual cross. Well, there I am with my computer in my lap. Start looking away for Stewart Cink to see what's that blue cross business all about. Turns out he's a believer. This from 2013. Guy's been at it for a while.
It's not all peaches and cream out here. I mean, it's a great job, but it's there are some difficulties that come with it personally. And faith just helps me iron out a lot of the bad stuff. And whenever I feel like I'm, you know, on top of the world, it helps me realize that the glory's not for me. I think he right now has sort of got my attention on idols, because I've been working really hard on golf for about 3 years now, really trying to come out of what I consider to be kind of my biggest slump in my career, where I just haven't been performing that well. And it's real easy to really idolize golf and what I do, and really put my time and focus into it and think that I'm the one that really is in charge.
Wow.
Instead of relying on him and, yeah, and relying on my faith in him.
Wow. That's pretty good stuff, isn't it? Golf had become the golfer's idol, and God was revealing it to him and working on his heart. How fun is that?
So the thing that he's got my attention on lately, is very recently, has been, you know, fix yourself on me.
Yeah.
And wow, not what I believe I can do. I mean, not that I don't think he wants me to go work hard and practice and be the best I can be, because I think he does. But for what end? You know, to what end does he want me to do that? And I think I've got the cart ahead of the horse sometimes.
Because I got to tell you, Stewart's not going to be bringing his trophies to heaven. Now, he might be given trophies, if you will, rewards in heaven, but we don't bring our successes and victories. They should all be done for him. And then the absolute whipped cream with the cherry on top is he says, well done, good and faithful servant. I got some stuff prepared for you. Amazing. Stewart Cink appears to be, there's a number of professing believers on the PGA Tour. I think Zach Johnson is one, Bubba Watson, at least a couple of years ago when we looked into it, professed to be a believer. I know Webb Simpson is. Fine, I'll just tell you what annoys me about Dr. Steve Lawson. You asked for it, so I'm just going to tell you. I didn't want to, but I'm going to tell you. So I'm sitting another day on the couch watching some golf in the basement. Okay, fine. It's kind of my thing when I want to chill out. That's what I do. Okay, you got your thing. I got my thing. And Webb Simpson was winning. And I sent Steve Lawson, who's an avid golfer, a text to say, hey, looks like Webb Simpson is going to take this thing, and he's a believer. Steve Lawson's response, I know. I had dinner with him. Okay. All right. You win, Steve. You're the winner, because I've never had dinner with Webb Simpson. Stuart Sink, making sure that he's doing things for the glory of the Lord and that he does not have idols in his heart, which, by the way, tends to be the focus of biblical counseling. Let's go to Ireland, shall we? Uh-oh. It appears the Emerald Isle just keeps getting more and more liberal then. A person's sexual orientation is not up for debate. Who said that? The Minister for Children. Uh-oh. Banning conversion therapy in Ireland and tasked officials with exploring ways to outlaw the practice in the Republic. Now, you got to define conversion therapy because we Christians do not believe in that, whatever that gimmick was for a season. People would send their kids who were struggling with their sexuality and they'd somehow like make them straight or something like that. I don't know exactly what that process was, but that's what it was. We're gonna change you from gay to straight. No, that's not the way that it works. It is a sanctification process where God empowers us to put to death the desires of our flesh and to increasingly have right desires. And that can be a lifelong process and a lifelong battle. So what is conversion therapy that is biblical? Well, you repent, you put your trust in Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven, and then you live to obey Him because of His goodness displayed to you. That's the process of sanctification. Problem is, conversion therapy is defined as both now. It refers to any form of treatment proposed to change a person's sexual orientation or to suppress a person's gender identity. In other words, they don't want us telling people to mortify their sins. Uh-oh. That's a problem. So is this language, my Irish friends. Speaking to the Journal, this fellow, who is the Minister for Children, said the government, quote, must be proactive, uh-oh, in banning practices that not only propagandize harmful and discriminatory messages, that'll make you rankle, but ones that also have serious negative consequences on a young person's mental health, with the potential of inflicting long-lasting damage. So much for following science on that issue. And so it is, the Irish government looks like they're going to be proactive. That word can be kind of loaded. Bad news in the States, over a quarter of college and high school students never attend church. Not shocked, which is why I would encourage you, dear church, if you happen to be located near a university campus, get there, get yourself a foothold, find yourself a beachhead, and be there every single week. And guess what? Some kids might get saved and start going to your church. Wouldn't that be swell? At the universities, Christian colleges fight LGBT students' lawsuits seeking to block Title IX religious exemptions. We know how this game is being played. People who have a different sexual orientation go to a Christian university wanting to express their inner self. And then they get upset when the Christian school says, no, that's not the way that we see things here. And then they sue them. Look for that movie to be replayed in a town near you over and over and over again. It's going to be like watching HGTV these days. Haven't we seen this one? Yeah, you're going to see this one over and over again. That's the game plan. Jimmy, I know you mentioned this in the news. Scientists creating early embryos that are part human, part monkey. Oh, wow. What could possibly go wrong with that? Created in part. Now, here's utilitarianism for you. This is pragmatism. This is consequentialism. They've all got different shades of meanings, but ultimately the ends justify the means. It's rather Machiavellian. Apparently, we don't have enough organs for people who need transplants. So what do? You jerry-rig embryos that are part human, part monkey. Now, do I think that they're going to have success? Well, if they create something out of that, it won't be a human. Nevertheless, it's a mess, and it's the ends justifying the means. It is using what is a good need, something that we should be going, oh, we got to figure out a way to fix this problem because we don't want people dying, and we want to use all of the blessings that medicine has been provided to us from God to help people. But sinning along the way is not the way to accomplish it. Christians are not pragmatists. The ends do not justify the means. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.